Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, hallelujah. We give him all the honor, all the praise due unto his name. Glory be to the Lord God Almighty, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy to be praised. You're worthy to be honored. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We glorify you. We give you all the honor due unto your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord God, thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Good evening, everybody. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos, Jr. of your host, The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle here on Blog Talk Radio. You could call us at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If at any time you want to send a message to the church, you could send it via the email at WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. Or if you want to speak to the pastor after 8 o'clock when this program is over, you could call 772-626-3178. 772-626-3178. And we're in Florida, United States of America. Hallelujah. Saying hello and praise the Lord to all my partners and friends that are in the other side of the world. It's getting dark over here, but over there I know it's getting light. Hallelujah. I just want to praise God. Tell someone about this program. Glory be to the Lord. So they could also hear it and grow spiritually. Hallelujah. We encourage you to call your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio by calling 516-418-5944 and then pressing number 1 to be connected to the studio. Today is Sunday, so I'll give you a little itinerary of the church and a little disclaimer, and then we'll go on from there. Glory be to the Lord. So today is Sunday, and every Sunday at 7 o'clock, we have the Bible Mysteries. We're dealing with the names or titles of God. Today, we're dealing with El Olam. El Olam. Hallelujah. And the question is, what does it mean? El Olam. Glory be to the Lord. Where can we find it? We find it in Genesis 21:33, Hebrews 11. And why was God called El Olam? Because God kept promises. And if we study the story of Abraham and Sarah and the promises of the son Isaac and everything else that God does with them, you're going to see when Abraham calls upon the name of the Lord and he doesn't alter that. He calls the Lord El Olam. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So there's many names and titles that we find in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and it's good to get to know them and the reasons why they were pronounced and why the individual people call upon God under that name. There was a reason. But there's only one name which is above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Glory be to the Lord. That's the last one we're going to talk about. Hallelujah. And if you call in and you have the correct answer as to what does it mean, what does LLM mean, the church will mail you out a beautiful accordion-style colorful pamphlet of the tabernacle. It talks about the furnishings, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolisms that point to Jesus, the sacrifices in the tabernacle, and the garments of the high priest. Glory be to the Lord. If this is more than your first time calling, then you're going to get a beautiful breakdown of the Our Father prayer. Remember, the Jewish people, the disciples went to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, say this, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we've taken this prayer and we've broken it into 12 rooms. Each one has a significance, meaning behind it. From Matthew 6:9-13, the Our Father prayer. Those are the prayers that Jesus taught the disciples. But if you want to read about Jesus' prayer, the one he spoke to the Father, you would have to go to the Gospel of John chapter 17. Here in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew's quoting from Isaiah 56:7. God said, "For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." Hallelujah. So you get a beautiful breakdown of that prayer and why they said what they said, and it's also broken down by the colors of the Messiah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's go into the first part. What does it mean? Well, when you read the scriptures and you look at the context that was written, you're going to come to an understanding of what that word means, that name means, or that title, and how does it apply to God. So the questions that we have is, what does it mean, L or M? We're going to find out through the scriptures. Where can we find it? Genesis 21:33 and Hebrews 11. Hallelujah. Why was God called El Elyon? The answer is God keeps his promises. That's why he was called that by Abraham. So let's read Genesis 21 from 22 to 34. And that way we stay in context and hopefully you could come out with it. And it came to pass at that time. And you have to remember that Isaac was promised to Sarah and Abraham, right? And because Abraham had a son with Hagar called Ishmael. But Ishmael and Hagar were expelled from the camp because there was a problem between Hagar and Sarah. And Sarah didn't want Hagar's son to be next to her son, Isaac. So the scriptures talks about Abimelech and Abraham making a covenant. So let's read that, beginning in verse 22. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, back unto Abraham, saying, God is with you, with thee, in all that thou dost. Now therefore swear unto me here by God that thou would not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of the well of waters which Abimelech's servant had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I would not who had done this, neither dost thou tell me, neither you heard of it but today, neither did I heard of it but today. So let me give you the breakdown of it. So Abraham approached Abimelech because his servants by force took a well that Abraham had dug. So Abraham told Abimelech, and Abimelech said, look, I didn't know about it. I didn't know who did this, and you never told me, and this is the first time I'm hearing about it. In verse 27, and Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 70 lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what means these 70 lambs thou hast set by themselves? And Abraham said, for these 70 lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore, he called the place Beersheba, because there they swore both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up and fought Koh, the chief captain of the host, and returned into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called thee on the name of the Lord, El Elohim. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So where can we find it? Well, the first part is Genesis 21:33. And we see how God gave Abraham, gave Sarah a promise of a boy, of a man child, of a child of a promise. Because Ishmael was born to Hagar and Abraham, but it was a son of sin, son of the flesh, son of lust. Sarah gave her mistress over to Abraham. Abraham was given the promise first. Abraham should have known better. He should have said, no, I'm not taking Hagar. God promised he will give us a son within that year. And he would have told his wife, Sarai, and sure enough, they would have waited upon the Lord because his promises are true. What he says is going to happen, it will happen. And this is something that you and I have to come to grips with, my brothers and sisters, that God said that when you are saved, this promise is for you and your family. So what we have to do is continue to pray, continue to seek the Lord, because that loved one that we love so dearly but doesn't want to come over to the Lord because of whatever reasons they come up with, we continue to pray for them because God's promises are true. And eventually that person will be saved. Some people wait to the last minute before they die, you know, and it hurts that you waited so long. Other people have a revelation and they be converted. But we as children of God are dependent upon the Lord. So we know that he's a promise keeper. And what he says is going to come out true. Because God is not a man that he should lie. So if he says to Sarah and to Abraham, you shall have a son, well, that's exactly what they're going to have. And so we're going to know that Abraham had a son by Sarah, and they named him Isaac. And that was a fulfillment of God's promises. God told Abraham that he will protect him in the land wherever he goes. And that's the disclosure that we read in Genesis 21 between Abimelech and Abraham. What happened? Well, God protected Abraham. He made it possible for Abraham and Abimelech to come to an agreement on a covenant. And Abimelech took the 7 ewes as a witness that, yes, Abraham dug this hole, this well. And yes, so whoever took it must return it back to Abraham because it belongs to him. I am a witness of that. I have made a covenant with him. And that's what Abimelech would have told his soldiers, his people, that Abraham dug that hole and it belonged to him. Glory be to the Lord. And we know that Abraham made a clove there and people knew that that land, that pot, that well belonged to Abraham because he dug a hole there. And you know, he dug a hole there because God told him to. It's where he got water to drink. He got water for his family. He got water for his cattle. He got water there. The Lord provided, just like he provided the water to Moses, to the people who were complaining when Moses struck the rock the first time, water gushed out. Then the second time he was supposed to speak to the rock, but he struck it again, and the water still gave him water. I mean, the rock still gave him water. God keeps his promises, and you and I, no matter what's going on in our life right now, must, you know, the enemy tempts us to leave our faith, but we have to make sure in our mind that we have a conviction that God keeps his promises no matter what. God would allow for the enemy to take you to the very edge, you know, to test your faith. But because of your faith, you want to hold on to God and know that he is real. Let's go on and read Hebrews, and we're going to begin from Sarai, and that's going to be chapter 11, beginning of verse 11, talking about faith and talking about Sarah and talking about Abraham, what occurred in their lifetime. Well, it's the word of God begins like this. Through faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful, which had promised. Who had promised? God promised that they would have a child within a year. And therefore, and she counted faithful. She was convinced that it will happen because God said so. And therefore sprang there of one, even of one which was dead, so many as the stars of the skies in the multitude. My brothers and sisters, how is it that Sarah, who was dead, now is bringing up children like the stars of heaven, like the sands of... Well, think about it. Man carries the sperm. The woman carries the egg. So when man takes on a wife, you know, and they consummate their marriage, well, they produce, they repopulate the earth through it. And so that's how Sarah had many, many, many children through the prodigy. Glory be to the Lord. It says here, and therefore sprang there of one, even of one which was dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the land of the sand shore, which is innumerable. All these died in faith and received not the promise, but saw them afar off and believed them and received them thankfully and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that said such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they had leisure to have returned. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is unashamed of them to call them their God. For he had prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham offered up Isaac when he was tried, and he that had received the promises offered his only begotten son, to whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. For he considered that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he received him also after a short. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we see that Abraham and Sarah, even though they knew that Isaac one day would depart from his body, but it will continue, the family will continue, because not only was Isaac promised to Sarah and to Abraham, but the Messiah was promised to them. They said, out of thy seed as being one, not seeds being many, but the seed will come from Isaac. It came from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Glory be to Joseph. You know, the seed, the man carries the sperm. And that's what happens when you hear of somebody murdering another human being. If he's a man, you just kill the whole generation of family, because if he died, then the seed within him dies as well. So, you know, that's why Abraham and Sarah became not only parents that was counted as stars of heaven, but as the sands of the land, because the generations of generations will continue. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So the question is, what does it mean? What does El Elyon mean? Where can we find it? Well, we said Genesis 21:33 and Hebrews 11. Why was God called El Elyon? Because God keeps his promises. Let me read something to you, a little excerpt from a teaching on the name of God, El Elyon, by Kurt Sells. It says here, Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the eternal God. Abimelech, a local ruler, wanted to make a treaty with Abraham because, as he had said, God is with you in everything you do. Abimelech played it safe and became an ally of Abraham rather than an enemy. At first glance, this may seem minor incident in Abraham's life, but at Beersheba, we see that Abraham calls on the Lord as El Elyon. The Hebrew word Elyon means for a long time, always, forever. El Elyon thus reveals God as blank, as El Elyon, without beginning or ending. Why would Abraham use the name El Elyon here? Know that before encountering Abimelech, Sarah had given birth to Isaac, the son of God had promised. Abraham saw that God was faithful to his promises for many years earlier. As a reminder that El Elyon keeps his promises, Abraham planted a tamarisk tree, evergreen, at Beersheba. The treaty that followed at Beersheba gives us an example of Abraham and Sarah, our praises in Hebrew 11. They stepped out in faith to obey El Elyon, who keeps his promises. God has eternity in view for you. What can you do today to demonstrate your trust in El Elyon? Oh God, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Help us trust you in the big and the small events of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's a little excerpt of the teachings on the name of El Elyon. What does it mean? Where could we find it? Why was God called El Elyon? Well, what does it mean? I'm not going to give the answer, because if you come up with the answer, then you're either going to get one out of the two prizes. One is the pamphlet, tablet of the tabernacle. Now, remember, the tabernacle was also called the Tent of Meetings. It was also called the Tabernacle of the Congregation. And it was a temporary shelter. When the cloud by day stopped, they will stop and rebuild the tent, and they will continue their services. When the cloud by day began to move, they would take down the tent and follow the cloud until the cloud stops. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And it's a ritual that they would do because, remember, they were disobedient to God. Some of them wanted to go back to Egypt, you know, to eat the food from Egypt. They had complaints about no water, bitter waters. They had complaints of no food. Even though God gave them manna from heaven, he gave them quails. But they complain against God. My goodness. My goodness. So we read further in the Word of God that God gave them sandals and clothes that did not wear out in the 40 years that they were in the wilderness. And they were 40 years in the wilderness because of their disobedience. And what happened was Joshua and Caleb were the only two spies that came back with a good report. The other 10 spies came back with a bad report. So what happened, Joshua and Caleb, they were the next generation. The next generation, when Moses died and God buried him, the commission was turned over to Joshua. And Joshua and Caleb went across the Jordan River with the new generation. And they conquered the land on this side and that side of the Jordan. And they established the nation of Israel there because God was with them. God was working on their behalf. And Joshua trusted God like Moses trusted him. And God told him not to be afraid that he was going to be with him. And Joshua believed God. He believed El Elyon, and he went through. I'm sure that Joshua sat down in front of a teacher, and the teacher would tell him about Adam and Eve. The teacher would tell him about Noah, Enoch. The teacher would tell him about Abraham and Isaac and Moses. I'm sure Joshua learned his history from the teachings that they gave. And Joshua had faith that God would take them through and bring them into the promised land. I recommend that if you have an opportunity to get the series that we see, the advertisement called the Patterns of Evidence, because in the Patterns of Evidence, it talks about a different time for the Exodus, the proofs of the Exodus, the patterns that God gave them regarding the Exodus. And, you know, what we have when we read in the Bible, it's not stories that are made up. These events truly happen. And like Jesus told the disciples, you know, that the rocks will speak. And sure enough, the archaeologists and the people that deal with the earth, geologists, they are finding many things that prove that the Bible is correct. And sure enough, God is faithful to his promises. You know, the next big event, if you remember what we're studying on Thursdays, is what's next. We are looking over the rapture. A lot of people don't believe in the rapture because they don't find the name in the Bible. But the rapture is the next big event in the gospel. Before the Antichrist could be revealed, the church is going to be removed from the earth. So the rapture is going to happen. So let me finish the itinerary so you know. So Sundays at 7 p.m. we have the Bible mysteries. We're dealing with the names of God or the titles of God. Tuesdays at 7, we have prayer. We have different prayers, and we'll always pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And then Thursdays, we have Bible study. Glory be to the Lord. Bible studies on Thursdays at 7 p.m., and we're dealing with what's next. Hallelujah. And when we do that, it's because, you know, we're trusting in God and everything that he does. So what's next? And so what's next is we believe that the rapture is next. The catching away, the great assembly, the gathering unto God himself. We read that in the Bible. And, you know, a lot of people, they don't want to believe it because they say that it was a theory brought up in the 1800s. But look, This has been done for years before, way in the Old Testament. You find it. God gives us an example of it. We see in Mount Sinai when Moses went up, God came down, and the earth. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So, and that's what we have to remember, my brothers and sisters. You don't want to be left behind. You know, God is telling us these things are going to happen. And we have an example of how Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. He called El Elyon because he believed that what God promised the child, Isaac, was true. And he believed God. And he believed God for that promise. And eventually, Sarah him had a boy, and they named him Isaac, because that's what God promised, that they were going to have a child. And through that child, the Messiah will come. Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob had the 12 patriarchs. And when we study Mary and Joseph, Mary came out of Joseph, and Joseph came out of Joseph. And so they were distant cousins, but we know that Joseph brought the royalty of to Jesus. So Jesus would have been the next king of Israel. Through Mary, the priesthood was brought forward. You know, the lineage of Levitic, the Levites and the Aaronic order. But God promised to the Messiah that he would be after the order of Melchizedek. And sure enough, that's what happened at his baptism. There was an exchange of priesthood. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we know that, you know, God promised these things, and they surely come to pass. God promised that when you come to him and you trust him and you ask for forgiveness and you repent of your sins, he promised that no one will be able to grab you out of his hand. So salvation is of the Jews, but because they reject the Messiah, it was offered to the Gentiles. That's you and I, my brothers and sisters. The Jews were the only ones at that time that believed in the one and true God. But they made a big error when they did not accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. When you look at the promises that God gave through the prophets, you know, one of the promises was that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. And sure enough, Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ was going to be a man that he would die for our sins. And sure enough, he died for our sins. And yet his soul, his spirit, his body did not see corruption. He resurrected on the third day, according to the scriptures. You know, he gave the promise that the Messiah will come and he will give sight to the blind. He will give hearing to the deaf. He will raise the dead. He will preach the acceptable year of the Lord, Isaiah 61. And Jesus Christ did all that. And, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were blinded. The Bible said that they were blinded by the enemy. They did not see. They did not see that he's the true Messiah. But in their disobedience, it opened the door for us Gentiles who were pagans. We used to worship many gods. But we got a revelation through the word of God about the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we received the revelation, the Holy Spirit touched our heart, drew us to himself, and we were saved. We accepted, just like Isaiah says, who shall receive our report? We received the report. We received what it was said on the scriptures about Jesus Christ. He was born of a virgin, just like Isaiah said. He will be called Emmanuel, just like Isaiah said, God with us. And sure enough, that's who he was, God with us. He tabernacled with us. He celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. He celebrated the Feast of the Passover. He celebrated all the feasts. He fulfilled the feasts. Jesus came and fulfilled the law. Everything that was said about the Messiah, Jesus Christ did. And we see that even at the cross, when Pontius Pilate put the sign over his head, it is said, this is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And the high priest ran back to Pontius Pilate and said, don't say that he's the King of the Jews. Say that he said he's the King of the Jews. And Pontius Pilate said, what I've written, I've written. And the reason why the Jewish people got upset, Pilate wrote, is because they take the first letter of each word to see if there's a secret meaning. And what they found in that message was Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. the name of the Almighty God. And to them it says that they killed, they crucified the God of glory, Yohei Vavheh, the tetragram. Glory, glory, hallelujah. And we see when he, after he was buried, when Mary and the other ladies came to him to clean the body because of the Passover, the stone was rolled away already. So we have the Hebrews soldiers, we have the Roman soldiers witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the angel rolled the stone away. They were witnesses. You know, they were paid off by the Pharisees and Sadducees to say that the disciples came and stole his body away, but that's not what tells us. History tells us that the Roman soldiers, the Hebrew soldiers, saw Jesus Christ resurrect when the stone was moved away. And sure enough, when Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, the stone was rolled away, and they looked inside, and they see the body of Jesus. And the two angels spoke to her, and as she was getting ready to run to the disciples, she saw the gardener. She saw who she thought it was, the gardener, when in reality it was Jesus Christ. And she didn't recognize him, but when Jesus said Mary, she recognized him. She was about to grab him, but he said, don't grab me because I haven't ascended yet to my God, to my Father. But go tell the disciples, go tell my brothers that I will meet them in Galilee. And sure enough, that's what happened. Because remember one thing, Jesus Christ and the disciples were all Galileans, Galilean Jews. And so they went back to Galilee, to where they first met each other. And sure enough, Jesus came through the door, and he showed himself alive to the disciples there, except for Thomas, who wasn't there. And the other disciples told Thomas later on what had occurred. And Thomas said, I won't believe until I put my fingers in his thighs and the wounds, and then I will believe. And the next week, we see how Thomas worked with the disciples. Once again, Jesus came in and said, peace be with you. And he called Thomas to himself. Glory to the Lord. Like he called you and I to himself. And Thomas put his hand on his sides, and he saw the wounds, and he kneeled down, and he says, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are those who believe and have not seen. That's you and I, my brothers and sisters. We don't know Christ after the flesh. All we know him is after the Spirit, because the Spirit gave us a revelation as to who he was. And sure enough, one day, soon and very soon, at the rapture, when he calls us to the sky, when he calls us to the clouds, we're going to be with him forever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So once again, this is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. of The Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle, your host here on Blog Talk Radio. And you could call 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to speak with the host or be connected to the studio. The question is, what does El Olam mean? That's the question. The other two ones, they give you the answers to, they're written in the itinerary there. And if you come up with the answer and you call the number, if this is your first time calling, you get a beautiful accordion-style pamphlet, colorful pamphlet of the tabernacle. Glory be to the Lord. And in it, I will recommend that you keep it with your Bible. And in it, it talks about the furnishings, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolisms that point to Jesus, the sacrifice in the tabernacle, and the garments of the high priest. That's the tabernacle, also known as the Tent of Meetings, also known as the Tabernacle of the Congregation. And it was a temporary shelter when the cloud by day would move, that would take out the tent, and they would follow the cloud. When the cloud would stop, they would rebuild the tent and continue the services there. Glory be to the Lord. If this is your second or third or above second cause or whatever, You will receive a beautiful breakdown of the Our Father prayer with the messianic colors, and we broke the prayer into 12 rooms, so it will give us a better understanding as to the Lord's prayer. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next Sunday, we're going to be looking at Elohim. 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 And what does it mean? Elohim. What does it mean? Why was God called Elohim? Where can we find Elohim? That one should be an easy one to find, because it's right smack in the first chapter of Genesis. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we'll be back. Don't forget, the disclaimer is that the songs that we play on this program, they don't belong to Pastor Ramo. They don't belong to the church, the way, the truth, and the life. They don't belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists and producers who produce the songs. But because we bought the albums, DVDs, and CDs, and then we have permission to use their songs. Glory be to the Lord. So next week, we're going to be looking at Elohim. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Elohim. And then we'll continue our study then. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So we pray and we hope that you study, that you keep your notes, and the Lord be with you. And unto then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen and amen.